back to Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he is, beloved, the bread of life. How good it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Well, last time I gave you a brief testimony of how I had received the Lord as my Savior some 69 years ago, and how he transformed and changed my life and gave me purpose and reason for living. And so the first thing we did after I went forward in the church service, and incidentally, you don't have to accept the Lord at church. You can accept him anywhere, wherever the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of sin and your need of Christ. You can open up your heart. You can cry out and ask the Lord Jesus to come in, and he will, beloved. He will come in. But I was in a church service, and as the invitation was given, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin, and I went forward, and as I did, the Spirit of God moved into my spirit, and I knew without a doubt that I had become a child of God, because the Holy Spirit bore witness with my spirit, and by the time I reached the pastor in the front, I knew that I was a born-again believer, that the Lord had transformed my life. So the next thing I did was to obey the Lord in water baptism. Now, when the Lord gave the commission to the church, he gave the commission to the church in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and that commission was given to the church, which was made up at that time of the apostles, those who knew Christ, and those who had walked with Christ. Now, the Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it means a called out assembly. And Christ had called out 12 men to follow him, which I believe were the beginning of his church. And so he gave these 12 his commission. And we read this in Matthew 28. He gave it to them as the church, which is the church's commission today. In Matthew 28, Jesus came, verse 18, and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And verse 16 tells us, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And thus he was speaking to them, and he said in verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the first thing that we teach someone is how to receive Christ as Savior. The next thing, then, is for that individual to obey the Lord in baptism, because baptism pictures the change that has taken place within a person's life. That is water baptism. When a person accepts Christ as Savior, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that they are immersed into the body of Christ. They are baptized into the body of Christ and become a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, which is a picture and type of the church. And so water baptism is an outward expression of what has already taken place in a person's heart. Water baptism doesn't save an individual. It reveals and is an outward testimony of how this person has already put his faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's why water baptism involves putting the body under the water, picturing death, and bring it up again, picturing resurrection, to walk in newness of Christ, as we've already discussed there in Romans chapter 6 and there's first 5 verses. Water baptism, picturing the transformation that's already taken place in a person's life. And so this is the next step of a believer after they've accepted Christ as Savior, to be baptized in obedience to the Word of God, revealing and manifesting their outward testimony to the fact they have put their faith and trust in Christ, have accepted Him as Savior, have been born again. And so, here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, I love the book of Ephesians. And I hope you have a Bible or New Testament and can follow along with us, because we're going to do a good bit of reading here in Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians I call the Believer's Handbook, because it is a book of instruction, a book of foundational truth for a believer and for all believers. It's a wonderful book of instruction and admonition. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he explains, "You hath he quickened," the old English word quickened means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Now remember, it was in our spirit that we were spiritually dead and separated from God. We were born in that condition with the nature called the Adamic nature, our old sin nature, so that no one had to teach us how to be wrong, to do wrong. No one had to teach us how to sin. Nobody had to teach us how to be selfish and want our own way and do our own thing. We were born with that kind of a nature, dead to God and alive unto sin within our spirit. But when we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves into our spirit. John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," physical birth. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit," spiritual birth. And so the Holy Spirit does the work of salvation, bringing us into the body of believers, into the church, and making a new person out of us, giving us the gift of eternal life. "And so you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," meaning our manner of living, "in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's the condition we were in our lost condition, separated and apart from God. Perhaps some of you listening today are in that very condition yourself. You know that you're under the control and dominion of sin, that you live for the satisfying of the desires and lust of the flesh, the desires of your mind, and you're saturated and caught up in the world system and the things of this world. And yet you know that there's far more. There's something that's missing. And that's missing is your relationship with Jesus Christ. But verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins," spiritually dead and separated apart from God, "hath quickened us together," that is, given us life together with Christ. By grace you're saved. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places," or in the spiritual realm, "in Christ Jesus." Now that's where believers are. We are in the spiritual realm in Christ, seated with Christ in the spiritual realm, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace And remember, grace is God's undeserved favor that's shown forth to us in offering us salvation and giving us eternal life. For by grace are ye saved through faith, faith in Christ, and that not of yourselves. Salvation's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship. We who have accepted Christ as Savior, have been born again, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Now he's talking to we Gentiles. The church at Ephesus was a church of Gentile believers. And he's writing to these believers who are Gentiles, not Jews. Remember, there's two classifications of people in the world. The Jews, who are God's chosen people, and then Gentiles, the rest of humanity. And so we are Gentiles. We who are not Jews are Gentiles, who are called uncircumcision because Gentiles didn't practice circumcision. God gave that practice to the Jews to set them apart and to indicate that they were God's chosen people. It was a sign of their belonging to the Lord. Uncircumcised, and that was picturing the Gentiles by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's what the Jews called the Gentiles. Uncircumcised. That, verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our condition before we accepted Christ as Savior, separated from the law of God and not having the promise of the future. But now, in Christ Jesus, and when we accept Christ, we believe in Christ, we are placed into Christ by the work of salvation through the Holy Spirit. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. Now we're going to have to stop there for this broadcast, but we'll pick up there next time. Until then, goodbye.